My name is Mark Schwing, and I'm the village philosopher. And I come from Chicago, and I teach there, American Studies and Humanities. As some of you heard me say at orientation, one of my responsibilities as village philosopher is to moderate these evening discussions. Tonight's question is, what is Christian about Christian higher education? And as you can see to my right here, I've assembled a panel who will present brief, opening, sharp, provocative responses to this question. You'll discover as this proceeds that the panelists all look very much alike and may even sound alike, but I think you'll discover that they have rather distinctive views on the matter. Their purpose is simply to get your intellectual juices started so that when they're finished, you can participate and straighten them out as to the question, what is Christian about Christian higher education? So without further ado, let me turn to our first panelist and ask him the question, what is Christian about Christian higher education? It seems to me fairly easy to define what is Christian about Christian higher education. So let me do it right at the start. Christian education, if I can paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, is education of Christians, by Christians, for the world. And that is to say this, that if you're looking for the Christian aspect of Christian education, it has to be sought not in what is taught, but by who is teaching and who is learning. That is to say, it makes much more sense to talk about Christian persons than Christian institutions or a Christian approach to, let us say, geology or physics or chemistry or literature. Now, what exactly does this all mean? It means that the education part of Christian education is pretty much what goes on everywhere in colleges and universities throughout the country. That is to say, a kind of humanistic or liberal arts perspective, which cultivates the powers of critical thinking, which asks fundamental questions like, what is the nature of man? What is the nature of the world that we live in? And how should we lead our lives? And at the same time, training in various vocational pursuits, teaching, nursing, doctors, lawyers, and so on. This goes on everywhere, but what does not go on everywhere is this kind of disciplined inquiry being done by Christians and for Christians. In other words, to put it in practical terms, if you want to look for the Christian aspect of Christian higher education on a campus, you look for it not so much in terms of what goes on in the classroom, but in terms of what goes on outside the classroom. In the way that people, drawn together in community under the cross, relate to one another socially, in their life at worship, and in their forgiveness of one another, in their support of one another, and in their mutual faith. So that if you pick up a catalog from a Christian institution, apart from perhaps a department of theology, you should expect to find pretty much the same kinds of course descriptions and offerings in the curriculum, the same kind of organization of subject matters as you would find anywhere else. What's distinctive is a Christian administration, a Christian faculty, and a Christian student body. We, for example, wouldn't think that in order to become a good doctor, or a good nurse, or a good lawyer, that we would first determine whether or not those persons were Christian, any more than just because we live in a democracy, we would elect our physician, or elect our lawyer. This would be a peculiar way of behaving, even though we live in a democracy. And similarly, we would find many persons who, by virtue of their being Christian, it wouldn't occur to us to assume that they would be good physicians. And contrarywise, there may be some Christian physicians who are not very good at medical health. And therefore, the education, the quality education that we give to suit people for the world is pretty much identical to what goes on elsewhere. What's distinctive is who is doing it. Thank you very much for that presentation. I don't see how anybody could disagree with that, but let's now hear from speaker number two. Well, I may look a lot like speaker number one. And I may even sound like speaker number one, but I really couldn't disagree more radically with what he's just said. Let me speak negatively first. I'm a little perplexed as how speaker number one would determine just which faculty are Christian and which not, which students are Christian and which not. I'd hate to be the admissions officer that makes these determinations, or the department chairman that makes these determinations. So far as I know, only God can make those determinations. And as far as I know, he's not the president of any of the universities or colleges throughout this country that claim to be Christian institutions. Not even PLU, I don't think. I heard he did make the short list there, but I guess wasn't finally selected. So that's one problem with speaker number one's point of view. Another problem, the university that I teach at has plenty of Christians on the faculty, has plenty of Christians in the student body, and even has, as its major piece of architecture, Rockefeller Chapel, where people worship and where there's a regular dean of the chapel appointed and holds worship services. That university is the University of Chicago, and it would be very surprised indeed if we were to call it a Christian institution. So there's something strange about speaker number one's notion. So let me put it in positive terms. What is Christian about Christian education? It seems to me that Christian education is really a synthesis of culture, science, and Christian religion, a kind of holistic approach to education. Or to put it differently, it's education for the whole person. It doesn't matter essentially about the number of Christians, even if we could determine that for sure on the faculty and the student body. So it's not who that determines what's Christian about Christian education, but what. That is, what is taught and learned. And this is not just what goes on in the theology department, it's what goes on throughout the entire curriculum. It's how the curriculum is organized. It ought to be differently conceived from other universities. It's how the administration proceeds. They ought to behave differently from administrations at other universities. Is there a distinctive Christian perspective to be brought to bear on the natural sciences? I should hope so. I should hope that Descartes and Bacon, for instance, two early pioneers in the natural sciences, who thought that the end of natural science was to control and dominate nature, would be challenged seriously by a Christian perspective. I would hope that the kind of perspective that you're seeing this week by Jens Knudsen when he presents his slides exemplifies a fusion of scientific thought and a Christian perspective on the creation. I would hope that the similar kind of perspective were in all classrooms and permeated the university. If there's nothing distinctive about a Christian perspective on sociology, history, physics, and chemistry, if there's no fusion there of social science and Christianity, of natural science and Christianity, then there's something seriously amiss. What's Christian about Christian education has to be thought of in terms of subject matter. Or consider this. Part of education is the transmission of one's own culture. In this case, often, Western culture. Western culture is itself a product of a great, rich interaction between the classical, the Hebrew, and the Christian traditions. It grew itself out of that kind of synthesis and fusion, an intricate kind of cross-fertilization. Therefore, when that culture is transmitted, it ought to be done in terms of a kind of synthesis. Let me put it one final way. I said that Christian education is education of the whole person. In that sense, it's the only genuine education, because it educates body, mind, and spirit. And all of those things must be addressed together, and if an institution is to present Christian education, they must be done together. Well, this is getting a little perplexing. Surely speaker number three can't have still a different point of view. If you'll keep it brief, we'll let you talk also, however. It is uncanny, this resemblance between us. But I find something very strange in speaker number one and speaker number two. They all talk about Christian education, both of them, I should say. I've yet to hear any of them mention the cross. I've yet to hear either of them mention faith. And so let me do that in my definition. What is Christian about Christian education? What is Christian education? Christian education is faith seeking understanding. That is, it's a sustained exploration of discipleship. It's a sustained inquiry by the community of the nature of faith and what faith means in the world. But having said that, I must proceed to say that I radically disagree with speakers number one and speakers number two, because I'm not sure that that kind of radical reflection can go on in concert with the secular disciplines. It seems to me that where Christian higher education goes on is in seminaries and in Bible colleges and in local parishes that gather in a community of faith to pursue with a kind of single-minded devotion that very hard and dreadful question of what it means to be a Christian. What worries me about what speaker number two said, talking about this synthesis between faith and reason, or between the sciences and the humanities and religion, is that though that's very high-sounding, and though it's very well-intended, it seems to me to fail to recognize the radical claims of the cross upon us. What we own as Christians is simply a scandal to the world. The Lord whom we worship and seek to follow calls us to a kind of truth that is very different from the kind of truth that is pursued in the other colleges and universities of the world and according to the traditional methods of the academic disciplines. Let me put that differently. Think for a moment in historical terms about some universities that might seem familiar to you. Whose names might? Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia. These schools all started out as seminaries, or all started out as what they would certainly have thought of as Christian institutions. They became the modern research institutions, committed to a notion of truth, of understanding, and objective research, seeking more understanding and more objective truth, truth as an endless process of inquiry. They became that kind of institution at about the same time that they ceased, quite deliberately, to think of themselves as either seminaries or Christian institutions. So they are quite clear about their mission. They don't pretend to be Christian, and there's something about the nature of the pursuit of inquiry according to a rational and critical tradition that is not just in tension with faith and the Christian faith, but that is antithetical to it. Let me put it still differently. Think of the saying, if ye continue in my word, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The kind of truth in that passage, I submit to you, is different from the kind of truth that is in the one-word motto of Harvard, Veritas, and that challenges radically all faiths, all convictions, all commitments, which must be held up to the same critical scrutiny and for which faith cannot be and must not be the beginning of inquiry. But Christian education, mind you, I said, is precisely faith seeking understanding. Therefore, I think that those institutions that try to effect that marriage, however well intended, are facing a number of perplexities that I've sketched. And if you want to find where Christian education goes on, you'd best look at a seminary or a Bible college or a parish or some other congregation. That's what Christian education is for me. I'm sorry I disagree with speaker number one and speaker number two, but that's the way I see it. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I'm a little baffled by this. I think this panel needs some straightening out from a lot of folks here who have attended institutions of higher learning, which offer, they say, Christian education. So I ask you now to reflect upon what they've said, what your experience has been, and what your thoughts are, and answer the question. You gentlemen, by the way, may be dismissed and seated among the audience. What is Christian? What is Christian, finally, about Christian education?
Are we defining Christian education as just higher education?
Yes, I'm sorry. Tonight, for the purposes of focusing the topic, I think we would really like to, though a lot that we say would apply to Christian education in general, I think we'd really like to keep the focus in terms of our experiences or our inside or outside those institutions, or in terms of what the speaker said on Christian higher education, and thinking more of colleges and universities.
Seems to me that perhaps the Christian education may have preceded the higher education. Therefore, we wouldn't have this problem if we faced at the higher education level.
Well, could you unpack that a little bit about?
Well, let us say by the time you've reached this stage of higher learning, you've probably been inculcated with the Christian principles. So I don't think the entering student would have a big problem in discerning whether it was a Christian education or not. I mean, he would bring it with him.
And it would be more in terms of the what, as the second speaker said, the what that is taught, rather than the who is doing it.
I think so. He would make this determination, probably.
Okay. So that to be education that begins early, a kind of Christian nurture in the home, perhaps the parochial school, secondary schools, whatever. Huh? And it's the what rather than the who. Huh? Yes?
This was a real important issue for me last year because I've been pursuing a master's degree in a Christian college that uses a clinical counseling service, which is also said to be Christian, to fulfill the other part of the degree. No one who works here or teaches here is supposed to be hired unless they have been passed by the board as having a deep commitment to Christ. Mm-hmm. But over and over again, I was told that I could not integrate Christianity with psychology. So all the theory that I studied was secular theory, and I kept experiencing this grating inside of myself, saying this is not the way I perceive the truth mm-hmm. according to my Christian values. I finally was told that if I was going to try to do that I would have to think of myself as a pioneer and do something uniquely isolated apart from what they were doing because I was grating against the system. So I had to be very careful about the agency I chose to do my practicum in, because very few of the Christian agencies would be accepted for the national certification that I was also seeking, which is basically filled with Christian therapists. So it was a real conflict. And I kept thinking, well, what happened to the Christian part of this education that I chose to get?
Okay.
It had to be done on an individual basis.
Brad?
I was going to say, I didn't hear any of the points of view mentioned anything I don't think to do with the church. And I would think that an institution of Christian higher education would somehow be connected with the church universal in some way or other, being that institution given by God to Christians through which they gather and nurture both spiritually and intellectually. I would think somehow that's got to come in there.
So you would see it more in terms of a formal institutional affiliation, or?
Well, I'm not saying that that's all of it that there is, but I think that has to be part of anything, that any kind of definition is set out, that somehow acknowledgement is given to and support sought from the institutional church.
Okay. So he went, even though it might not be sufficient, one thing he thinks would have to be true of Christian education is that it has some very direct and intimate tie to the church, or be actually part of the church. Yes?
25 years ago, when William Buckley graduated from Yale University, he wrote a book which had quite a bit of fame at the time called God and Man at Yale. What he said was exactly what you said about Chicago in one of those three chairs. You are this invisible person sitting here. And what book? And Dwight MacDonald reviewed Buckley's book in the Reporter in a brilliant, witty review in which he said, why is Buckley even writing this book? Anyone with eyes in their head knows that Yale has not been Christian for a century. Harvard has not been. Columbia has not been. They may have a chapel there donated by John D. Rockefeller or someone, or its equivalent, but they're just simply not Christian. They're large, excellent secular institutions with a whiff of perfume or a veneer or an ancient slogan that no one reads.
Okay. That's to sort of support the speaker number two's position, but really to make the question more urgent than at a Christian institution, how do we know that it's Christian? What goes on there that's Christian about Christian education?
One thing that goes on there is interaction between the people who are there. Christian interaction. I lost my husband during my daughter's first year in college. She was at PLU, and the people supported her beautifully. The fellows especially were like big brothers to her. And I felt grateful that she was where she was.
So it's in that kind of supporting, worshiping
community.
So, yes, that that sort of speaker number one had mentioned. The stuff that goes on outside of the classroom and the way that human beings relate to one another under the cross and in Christian community.
Yes, but I think also something of what speaker number three was saying.
Okay. Other thoughts? Are most of you content with the notion, let's suppose that Brad, we would agree with Brad that there ought to be some direct understanding the institution has of itself as a part of the church, or that it's definitely tied to a church? And let's add what was just said about there having to be the presence of Christian people relating to one another in a Christian way, by way of support, by way of the forgiveness of sins, by way of another number of other things that mark the Christian life. Would that be enough for you to define what's Christian about Christian higher education?
When I think of an institution, the people that administer it, people that attend it, if they have some kind of understanding and it's voiced that we are a Christian community or this is a Christian institution, I think I would accept that and probably not dispute it. On the other hand, I think if a college were not, a university were not, they would not make that claim. And by the same token, I could probably say, well, they do not class themselves with that, although many members that are there are indeed Christian. I think maybe they kind of sort themselves out. I think also that what I was hearing over here was I am and you're not, or and turned around. I'm always very suspicious of someone or some group that has a claim, apart from somebody else, the claim to have the truth or the answer or whatever. That's when I become suspicious. So when I hear that, I back off a little bit. But I think the kinds of contrasts that I would want to measure by are conveniently sorted out, and they say they are, or they say nothing.
Okay. Yes, now.
I think that this issue is more important than that, though, because so much of the monies from the institutional churches go to the support the colleges of our churches when they could make that money could maybe go to feed people or to do something else. And I'm trying
to think, you know, what determines that I spend however many thousands of dollars it is to send my child to PLU or St. Olaf or wherever, when they could go to a small state college with a very good, maybe a Lutheran student association in off the campus away, so it wasn't on state grounds. Mm-hmm. So they could find a fellowship community, worshiping community. I guess those are the things that I keep wrestling with and keep wondering about.
And you want to hear more than you have so far.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
justify spending the kind of money
yeah.
to send a student there. What folks have contributed thus far, putting together a kind of picture of a Christian institution, isn't quite enough for you so far. Yeah.
I'm no expert in the finances of Lutheran institutions, though I teach in one, and we're all kind of cheek by jowl with those problems all the time. The tuition at private institutions is obviously higher than the tuition at public institutions, and I think parents have to debate whether or not it's worth that extra tuition expense. Whether or not the institutional church supports her institutions very well, it seems to me, is open to question. I think that the institutions of the Lutheran Church are much more loyal to the Lutheran Church than the institutional Lutheran Church is to her institutions. If a measure of that is money, the amount of money we get from the American Lutheran Church is so slight as to be almost non-existent. Mm-hmm. Now, we are supported by a variety of people from the Pacific Northwest that are very interested in PLU, and that is a kind of support at arm's length, I suppose, but it's certainly not support from the institution of the church, if that institution sits in Minneapolis, heaven help us. So, I don't know what point I'm trying to make, except that there may be some institutional commitment, but it's not measured very, very well any longer by dollars. And that's a real problem, because into that enormous vacuum that has come to exist, money has to come from someplace, and it comes from people with issues at hand that they want dealt with. And the primary source of money is presently the federal government, for better or for worse. And we have to play to the tune that the federal government sings or drums out. And I think the largest problem that might presently exist is one of having to submit to federal controls. And that sneaks up on institutions unconsciously. Mm-hmm. So that the definition of our institutions comes not from the institutional church or the faculty or whoever, but increasingly from the federal government, because that's the source of money.
On the other hand, a few years back, I was on the CLC board, and they were in some financial straits. And I think the one thing that helped at that time was they had this college appeal throughout the Lutheran churches, and they did come through with funds at that time. So maybe on a day-to-day or year-to-year basis, the support isn't what one would desire, but at least in that time of crisis, they came through. So there is some support.
Joe? Well, moving back to these three speakers, I guess I would try to shape out this kind of thing in my mind, because it's been a while since I thought about this, but a fourth position that says that it's what is happening, and Christian education happens where people are being liberated from that which tyrannizes them and prevents them from addressing the reality of the world that they live in, which is freedom. And that's in some way or another the center of what education has to be wherever. And that should be happening and can happen at Christian higher education institutions. It can also happen in higher education institutions of other kinds. But to me, that's kind of central to living the gospel, which liberates.
Yes,
if we accept the first premise that we exclude the seminary-type functions from a Christian college, we accept the first gentleman's concept that most of the students have completed their, or have had their Christian education before they get to this level, then what are we offering at a Christian college that we're not offering elsewhere, other than association with other people of the same belief? Is it one of, hey, we got a Lutheran college, or you got a Methodist college, or a Catholic college, if we're all teaching the same secular subjects?
I think that's Nyla's question, too. What's distinctive, what is sufficiently distinctive about a Christian institution to warrant?